is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Sign up now for their virtual camp 2.0 featuring 10 days of workouts with pro trainers from the Dr. Dish family. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Bob Walsh from Providence College, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Linsing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And we are now well into week two of the NBA season.
And well into the night.
Well into the night. We are almost approaching midnight here on Tuesday evening / Wednesday morning. So hopefully when you hear this on your way into school or work tomorrow on Wednesday, you will appreciate the fact that Jason and I stayed up late to give you our NBA takes. And today, what we thought we would do is try to identify things that we've seen early here in the season that we think are real and things that we think are not real. So we're going to play a little game of for real or not for real. And we're going to trade back and forth between Jason and I with him giving a topic, me giving a topic. So I'm going to let you kick it off. Give me your first thing.
Chicago Bulls, are they for real or are they not for real, Mike?
I think they're not for real in terms of being a true, and I mean they may end up with a good record, but I don't think they're a real threat to come out of the Eastern Conference, do you?
I'm starting this might be a double for real. I'm buying into Miami more than I'm buying into Chicago. I think Chicago has a lot of good things. I think it may be fool's gold. Now, they did beat the Jazz recently, but like if you look at who they've beaten, I feel like they have their one loss they could have won if they would have gone their way, but let's see who they beat. They beat
I have their schedule. I have the schedule right here.
Detroit, so Pelicans, Detroit, Toronto. Then they beat the, so I know Toronto's been surprising to some teams, okay? But Detroit's been pitiful and Cade didn't play, okay? New Orleans is pitiful because Zion, although New Orleans was playing.
We're going to get to Cade, by the way.
Oh yeah.
He's on my list.
Okay. And then Boston, they beat Boston. And Boston, by the way, did you see Marcus Smart
quote? Yeah, we definitely. That's another one. We're going to talk about one too.
So for sure, Chicago's might be more fool's gold than anything. I'm buying the Miami Heat more than I'm buying the Chicago Bulls. So I don't know if you want to tackle both the teams with that, but that's where I'm going to leave mine and then let you say your piece.
I think Chicago is a good team. I think LaVine has taken another leap in terms of what he's doing on the defensive end of the floor. He's a little bit more engaged. He's a little bit more active. I think that DeRozan has – I've never been a big DeMar DeRozan fan after watching him come up short against the Cavs time after time. My feelings about DeRozan and Lowry are very similar. Lowry obviously won a title with the Raptors. DeRozan was gone before that happened. But DeRozan has proven over the course of his career to be a guy who can score. And
did you, Mike, did you listen to Miss?
Yes, I did.
And what they talked about DeRozan being the second leading isolation scorer.
Yeah, it's most efficient behind James Harden. Which I don't think that's that surprising when you think about what he's been in his career. I think the knock on him has always been that why doesn't he just step 2 feet back and shoot a three instead of a two? And I know he went through the one season in Toronto where he started to shoot some threes, or maybe that was his first season in San Antonio, and then it basically disappeared. But there's no question that the guy's always been a great mid-range scorer. I think the thing that he did in San Antonio, and they talked about it on the Mismatch today too, is that he became a guy who was much more willing to distribute the ball and make plays for other people than he was when he was in Toronto. And so that makes a difference. And I do think that Lonzo Ball on the Bulls makes a ton of sense. And you hear so many people and you read so many things about Lonzo that is Lonzo the prototypical guy who was a number two pick in the draft? Is Lonzo ever going to be even an all-star player? I don't know. I kind of would say no, but I do think that Lonzo is a guy on winning teams that plays winning basketball because he doesn't need the ball in his hands. He's an outstanding passer. He sees guys who are open. He keeps the ball moving. He plays defense. He rebounds. He does a lot of good things that help you win. And when you have a team like the Bulls where you have Vucevic, where you have Zach LaVine, where you have DeRozan that can score, they added Caruso, who's another defensive-minded player, that the pieces seemingly make sense. And obviously the question that people had about the Bulls going in was, where was their defense going to be? And they felt pretty confident that their offense was going to be solid, which it has been, but their defense has been better than advertised. I think that's what's made the difference. Do I buy them as a true contender to get out of the Eastern Conference? I really don't. But do I think that they could finish certainly in the top six and avoid the play-in? Definitely. It seems like that's the way they're trending. I think people thought there was a wide variance in what the Bulls could be. There were people that argued, hey, this is really going to work and these pieces fit together. And there are other people that are like, I don't know. Maybe offensively they're going to be okay, but their defense is going to be so atrocious that it's not going to make up for – their offense isn't going to be able to make up for it. And I think they've disproven that. So I guess – I don't think Chicago's a true contender, but I do think that they're going to be maybe better or at least be on the top end of what people's expectations were for them. All right, tell me about the Miami Heat, why you believe in the Heat.
They're just a bunch. Listen, I'm buying the Heat culture. I'm buying everything. Bam hasn't even played the last two games, and they dominated. Like, I'm just buying Miami. I think I picked Miami to be like second or third in the East, and I don't think you quite were as high on them as I was, but what do I have? I have it right here. Yeah, I had the Bucks in the finals, but I had Miami third in the East. And listen, I also had the Lakers winning the finals. I think that one, we could already put that one to bed, Mike. I'm ready.
Boy. You don't like the fact that you're losing to Houston in the third quarter?
No, I don't like that at all. Anyways, I just really like what I've seen from Miami. Now, I'll be honest, when I say I haven't seen much, I did watch tonight a little bit. Did you watch any of the game tonight or no?
I did not get to see any of tonight's game.
They played really well against Dallas. They obviously beat them. Luka looked really good again, but at least in the first half. I didn't watch much of the second half. But what I will say is this. I just buy in to what Miami is. Listen, they know how to construct a roster. They know how to get everyone to buy in. They know how to get everyone to do what they're supposed to do. And I just think,
defensively, they're really good. When you put Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Kyle Lowry, and P.J. Tucker out there, now obviously P.J. Tucker is almost as close to a zero as any player.
He scored 6 points, Mike, tonight. He scored six
He's
points.
As close to a zero, though, as you can get for a guy who's going to play major minutes. But defensively, he does bring the ability to switch and guard bigger players and all the things that we saw him do with Milwaukee and that we've seen him do over the course of his career.
Tyler Hero, Mike.
If Hero is going to play as well as he has been.
He scored 25 tonight.
Yeah, if he's going to play this well, that definitely gives them another dimension that they didn't have, because I think he's a much more dynamic scorer than Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson's a better pure shooter, but Hero gives you some more ability to put the ball on the floor and create for himself. So, look, I'm not 100% sold that Miami is a real contender, but I think when you look at the fact that this team has made the finals before, Kyle Lowry, who's their big free agent acquisition, has made the finals before, that there's certainly, I think there's a more viable path for Miami to be the team that would represent the Eastern Conference. I don't think it's going to happen, but I still think that they are probably the team better equipped. If I was going to say which of those two teams is more for real in terms of being an Eastern Conference champion, I would definitely take Miami over the Bulls at this point in the season. So,
okay. All right. Go ahead. Your turn to pick something to talk about, Mike.
All right. For real, Boston. Are they going to finish as poorly as they've started? And what do we do with this Marcus Smart quote? So is Boston for real? For real, meaning are they this bad? Are they this bad?
I hope so, because I look forward to the content from Bill Simmons. That's what. I think it's hard. It's really hard to be as bad as they have been with two of the top 10 scorers.
The Marcus Smart code is telling, right? It has show you that.
Should I read the whole quote, Mike?
Sure, go for it.
I would just like to play basketball. Every team knows what we are trying to do. Jason and Tatum every time is programmed and studies. Stop Jason and studies us trying to stop Jason Tatum. I think everybody's scouting report is to make those guys try to pass the ball. They don't want to pass the ball, and that's something that they're going to have to learn. They're still learning, and we're proud of the progress they are making, but they have got to make another step and find ways to not only create for themselves, but create for others on this team. To open up the court for them later in the game where they don't have to take those tough shots or take tough matchups when they get the one-on-one and see a trap. Just reading that. It's something that we've been asking for them to do, and they're learning. We just got to continue to help those guys do that and help our team. Woof.
All right, look.
Did he know he had a microphone in front of him?
It's just not something that if your team is together and you have a good locker room situation, it's just not something that – it's just not something that you say, right? I mean, it just can't come out from – it just can't. I mean, there's no way. And then you're talking about they're still young, they're still growing. So here's the thing that Marcus Smart is talking about how these guys are young and they're still growing into them, into whatever type of players they're going to be. You know what year this is for Jaylen Brown?
Six?
6 years. This is his sixth year in the league. Now, I know he came in after his freshman season, so he's still young, but it's his sixth year. It's Tatum's fifth year in the league. So it's not like these guys are rookies or second-year players. Sure, they can continue to get better, but it's like they are what they are. I think Boston has – it's a problem. I mean, if I read that quote and I believe in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, which, again, who knows, then I got to have Marcus Smart on the trade block, because it just doesn't seem like this is working. And maybe you blame it on Brown and Tatum or one or the other, or maybe you blame it on Marcus Smart, but I don't know. I mean, clearly those two guys are not elite playmakers by any means, but they definitely both can play both ends of the floor in terms of being able to be good defenders, and clearly they can score. Jaylen Brown's gotten better every single season of his career. Tatum's been probably better from the start, maybe hasn't improved quite as much in terms of what people think his potential is versus where he is right at this moment. And I mean, again, we're saying a lot here because, you know, I don't know what Tatum's averaging. Jaylen Brown's averaging like 27 a game. And Tatum is, let's see, where's he at? Tatum is averaging. So Tatum's averaging like a point less. So he's averaging almost 26. I don't know. It just speaks to what, I don't know what's going on in Boston's locker room. So I think they're going to finish as poorly as they are now? I'd say they're probably going to improve, but this team looks like, based on what we see in the East right now, Boston looks like a team that's going to be in the play-in.
Are they even going to be in the play-in?
I mean, they're going to be fighting down in that area. They're not going to be a top six seed at this point. I think we could safely put that to rest.
I think they're worse than the Cavs, Mike.
Maybe. Maybe.
No, they don't play as a team. That's the one thing I will say.
It's a weird mix. Yeah, it's a weird mix. It's a weird mix. I'm out on the Celtics as being a good team at this point.
Okay. Are they for real or are they not for real? The Washington Wizards. 5-2.
Again, we have to define what for real means. I think, are they for real in that they're going to be, I think they have a good chance to be in the upper half of the play-in based on what we've seen in this early part of the season. Because they just have a deep roster that is filled with guys who are good NBA players. Spencer Dinwiddie, when he's healthy, is a good NBA player. I think Kyle Kuzma, when he's healthy and now he's kind of out of that spotlight with the Lakers, is a good NBA player. Bradley Beal is a, I guess, great NBA player. And I think Washington's for real. I think they're going to be in the mix to be one of the, I would say that in that 7-8 spot, I think Washington has a decent shot at staying there. And it seems like Wes Unseld Jr. is a good coach. And turning Russell Westbrook into the rest of that roster, so getting Montrezl Harrell, being able to bring in Kuzma, being able to make those kinds of moves that brought you depth that you didn't have previously, makes a ton of sense. And Rui Hachimura, who's one of their more promising young players, hasn't played yet. So I think Washington's for real in terms of being able to finish out of that back end of the East and more up into the middle of the conference.
Okay, I think that's fair. I think well, they're definitely not the worst team in the Eastern Conference. I eat my words on that one. Too bad. Let's just say my preseason predictions have not turned out very good so far. I do still like my Bucks.
There's a lot of weird things going on. Well, listen, I still think the Bucks.
The Cavs are starting 3 7-footers, and they're 4-4. If you would have told me, Mike, before the first game of the season, the Cavs are going to be 4-4. I would have been dancing up and down with that road trip.
Winning 3 out of 5 on that Western Conference road trip with the teams that they played.
Remember what we were doing on the way home? We were talking about when are the Cavs going to get their first win, and then they won. So listen,
it's pretty good.
That is pretty good. And
pretty good.
Tomorrow night they're playing the Blazers, so we'll see if they can continue winning. All right, well, I don't want to make this all about the Cavs. I apologize. All right, so I guess. It's your turn, Mike.
It's my turn. Cade Cunningham, for real?
Oh, God. He's averaging 4 points a game, Mike. Did you see that?
No, he's not. No, he's not. Did he have 6 tonight?
Well, I thought he had four,
but...
The NBA app said that he was averaging 4 points per game.
All right, let me get that. Oh, he had 6 tonight. Yeah, sorry. So, do you know that he equaled an all-time record in his first game?
He had 2 points.
Did you know that was an all-time record? For the number one pick. But he was tied with another player.
Anthony Bennett.
Oh, God. Not a good comparison. When you are being tossed around with Anthony Bennett as a comparison for anything that you've done in your NBA career, that is not a good sign for Cade Cunningham.
How many minutes did he play? Oh, my God. He's averaging 24 minutes in the two games.
He played 29 minutes tonight. He's shooting 14% from the field. He was, I believe, 0 for 9 from 3 tonight, 2 for 14 overall. So it has not been a good start for Cade Cunningham. Not at all. Let's put it this way. I think with as good as Scottie Barnes has looked, with as good as Evan Mobley has looked, Jalen Green has been, I think, as advertised in that he's putting up a lot of shots and he's kind of hit or miss, but clearly you can see his talent and you have to be pretty talented to put up some of the numbers that he's put up in a couple of the games. And what we've seen thus far from Cade Cunningham has not, if I'm a Detroit fan, look, it's only been 2 games and it's probably a huge overreaction, but I think there's no question that Evan Mobley is going to be a perennial all-star. I think Scottie Barnes has a chance to be a perennial all-star. I think Jalen Green in 2 or 3 years is going to be an all-star level player. And we've only seen Cunningham for 2 games, but I'd be a little bit nervous if I was a Pistons fan.
I knew he'd only played one game before tonight. I didn't realize how bad he has been playing. I mean, once again, I'm not like checking the Detroit box score, so I guess I got to get better at that. But wow, that's pretty impressive. He tied Anthony Bennett.
The one thing he won't
tie Anthony Bennett is the weight that Anthony Bennett is.
Are you tired of slipping and sliding on the court and sticky sheets just aren't giving you grip? Grip Spritz solves this problem without having to lick your hand to clean your shoes. Grip Spritz is used by countless AAU, high school and college programs, semi-pro teams, as well as NCAA athletes and G League players. Unlike other products, Grip Spritz has solutions for individual players, not just entire teams. We've used Grip Spritz at our Head Start basketball camps and players love it. To keep you and your team from slipping and sliding, visit gripspritz.net to learn more.
My next buy-in or not, Zion Williamson, is he playing a game of basketball this season?
Okay, good question.
Did you see the picture of him?
Yes. Oh my God. Oh, yeah.
How much does he weigh in, Mike? How much is he weighing?
He's got to weigh 315.
I mean, that's double my weight.
Yeah, he's gigantic. I think
he's Robert Tracker the trailer question, size.
I think the better question with Zion is, I think he's going to play a game this season. I think it's for real that he'll play a game this season. I think the better question is, does he suit up before 2022? To me, I think that's a legitimate question. Do we not see him until the first of the year? Because even if that foot heals, you can't put him out there weighing 315 pounds and running up and down the floor. Like, he's got to work himself back into condition. And I just don't understand how you're a professional athlete and that's your only job. And look, I know he probably has – there's people that just have a propensity. They're big. They have a propensity to quickly gain weight when they're not staying active. But why are you not staying active? Like, he's got to be – I don't understand that. I just don't understand it. And I'm as big of a Zion fan as anybody out there, and I love watching the guy play. I think he's just a special talent that doesn't come around very often, but it keeps looking less and less likely that we're going to ever get the best version of him for long stretches of time, which that's sad if that's the case. And I hope he's able to come back. I hope he's able to be healthy, and I hope he gets himself in shape and eventually figures out what it's going to take to maximize his career, because he's certainly not there at this point. So,
yeah, I just I can't believe. So last year he weighed 285 pounds. Okay, and he was the third heaviest player in the NBA. Now, what are you going to say? He's 350. He's got to be pushing that. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, he's huge, man. I mean, look, you want him to be healthy. We said it from the time that he's come into the league that if he's healthy, that I don't even know what his ceiling is because of the way that he can move and his athleticism at his size. And we saw him do it at the end of the season last year. The things that he was doing as point Zion were things that we really haven't seen anybody in the league capable of doing those things. And if we don't get to see it, it's going to be one of the biggest what ifs in the history of the league, because he's a guy who's so uniquely talented. And to this point in his career, he hasn't been able to avoid injury. And you just wonder about his body type and what's going to happen there.
Did you see what Charles Barkley said in the pregame show?
No.
Charles Barkley said Zion Williamson has gotten so fat that he looks like Shaq and Chuck had a kid.
Yeah, consider those guys have both been retired and I think like to eat and have a propensity to put on some weight. Not a good sign for Zion that he's in his, third year, and you're being compared to two guys who have been retired for a long time in terms of your body size. So not a good look for Zion.
Yep,
all right, for real. Damian Lillard struggles. For real?
We'll find out tomorrow night.
18 points a game. shooting 23% from three, 34% from the field overall, seven games played. Worried at all? Any worries?
Well, I mean, I'm a little bit worried because I'm a big Dane fan. But I also think that it's just a weird – there's been a weird offseason for Portland, and he's had he had the Olympics. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but I think it's a weird situation. And, you know, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time that he gets dealt or something happens. I don't know. I don't know. Portland's not – I mean – if they just, I don't think they got better this year. I know they got Billups as their coach. I don't think they're any better, right? You agree that they didn't get any better in the offseason?
Larry Nance hasn't made them better. He hasn't played well, I don't think, to this point.
Yeah. So I just don't know, you know, I don't know. I want to believe that Dame
is. Look, he struggled in the Olympics, and I don't know. I'm not. He's going to be 32 by the time this season ends.
Which is crazy because I would have never thought he was that old.
Yeah, so small guard, a guy who has been really good, but he's carried a huge load for Portland. Maybe he's not – maybe the modern era is – maybe he's going to age more like guards of the past where Isaiah Thomas is basically retired at age – 31, 32, he's done. I don't think that's the case where Lillard is completely dropping off the map, but it's seven games in. I mean, his stats don't look anything like his career statistics. I mean, you can go through and see what he shot from the floor and what he shot from three, and there's nothing even remotely approaching what he's doing this year. I mean, even his rookie season, he was well above where he is now in terms of percentages. So I guess I'm a little worried about it just again because you just never know how age is going to affect a guy. So we'll see what happens.
Yep. All right. Real or not, does the Denver Nuggets stand a chance if Michael Porter Jr. continues to play the way that he's played?
Stand a chance to do what? I mean, the answer is no. I mean, if Porter Jr. is not better than what he's been to this point, then Denver has literally no chance of advancing past. Maybe they could win a round just because Jokic is so good. I don't know if you saw. I was just scrolling through Zach Lowe's Twitter today, and
the usage rating chart.
Yeah, so preposterous stat of the season so far will come as no surprise to Denver fans. Nuggets are plus 80 in 213 minutes with Jokic on the floor, and minus 62 in 123 minutes without him. That's so hard to pull off this fast. I'm almost impressed somehow. It obviously speaks to how good Jokic is, but it also speaks to the fact that if Porter Jr. is supposed to be your second best guy, he just isn't delivering in any way, shape, or form. I mean, he's been well into the 40% as a three-point shooter, and this year he's shooting, I think, 23%, maybe something like that. And he's looked lost out there in the times that I've watched and the games that I've seen him. And Jokic continues to just play at an absurdly high level. And when he's on the floor, as that stat backs up, he's carrying them. But as we all know, and especially here in Cleveland, watching LeBron sit out for 2 minutes and watching the Cavs go minus 8 points in those 2 minutes that LeBron sat out in finals games against the Warriors – when that's the situation, it's really hard. It's really hard to overcome yep. that when your team can't play without you on the floor. So if Porter Jr. doesn't get back to where he needs to be, it's just Denver can't be considered a legitimate threat unless he plays better.
Yeah. And I think I will say about Jokic is this. I think the Cavs had the right idea when they played them. And I know you didn't know you had Bally Sports yet, so you didn't watch that game, Mike.
I did not see that game.
But they bully balled him the whole game. They just kept throwing a different 7-footer at him for like the whole game. And, you know, he still had got his points and whatnot. He was like 24 and 19 or something like that, 24 and 17. But he was minus 12
and was just never in, you know, he had 24-19, and he was just never seemingly in rhythm. And they just kind of didn't let him do anything. Like, I think what Jokic is, we've talked about it before, but like Jokic is really good at setting up his teammates, and they just bullied him around so much that he wasn't able to set people up to the level that he is. And you know, that just made them, I mean.
Guys around him have to make shots, and Porter Jr. is the guy who has to make shots. And without Jamal Murray, you're relying on Porter Jr. not just to be a guy who's going to be a standstill jump shooter. You're relying on him to be a creator and to try to do some more things. And to this point, he hasn't been able to do that. He hasn't been able to step up into that role. If Jamal Murray comes back, chances are he's not going to be the Jamal Murray that we remember right out of the gate, but he'll probably be a player that, if Michael Porter Jr. reached the level that I kind of thought he might get to this year and that many experts thought he was going to get to, that adding a Jamal Murray, I think, makes Denver a legitimate chance to, you know, a legitimate contender to get to the finals, which is what I picked. But if Michael Porter Jr. continues on the trajectory that he is to this point this season, there's no possible way that Denver can win with or without Jamal Murray. You could get Jamal Murray back at full go. And if Michael Porter Jr. is going to be eight right now, he is, let's see, he's averaging 10 points a game right now. He's shooting 23% from three, like I said. So he is not by any means lighting the world on fire in a larger role. And he's averaging 32 minutes a game. So they need far more out of him. Now, his track record tells you that he's going to shoot better, just like with Dame's track record tells you he's going to shoot better. But with Porter Jr., you don't have the age factor that you might have with Dame. So, yeah, if he doesn't play better, Denver's in a lot of trouble.
Yep.
All right, Mike. I guess you have one more, right? You want to do one more?
I'll do one more. So my last one is, let me look at my list here and see what my last one. I got a couple, but I want to pull out one more. All right, last one. We talked about this one a little bit last week. Ja Morant, all NBA this season, for real or not for real?
I think he's for real.
I think it's for real too. I agree. I think you look at sort of maybe the slippage of Russ isn't going to get consideration, although I know he didn't get it last year. Dame seems like he's maybe down a little bit. Morant has just been phenomenal to this point, and I don't see any reason why that doesn't continue. So I expect him to be on one of the three All-NBA teams without question this year.
Yeah. I agree completely on that.
All right, last thing. This is not a for real or not for real, but just how do you like the lack of fouls being called
in terms of
guys? Yeah, that's for real. Like it's awesome to watch a game and not just see guys jumping into people and doing all the foul baiting, and it's so much more. It's so much more entertaining to have that part out of the game.
Yes, 100%.
I think it allows teams to play more defense. I know I think the mismatch they were talking about today, that the scoring is down from 112 points a game to 106 points a game. And look, everybody loves offense, but I also know that as a basketball player, it's oftentimes very frustrating when you can't guard somebody without it being a foul, when James Harden is going to lurch into you or Trae Young is going to come around a screen and then stop and jump back into you, and watching Kevin Love pump fake and then dive into people with his shot. Like those are not basketball plays. So to see those eliminated, to me, has been a huge plus for the NBA.
Yeah, listen, I just know this. The games are far more enjoyable to watch. We don't have all these stupid review plays at the end of the game, which is also helping. I just think they did a good job implementing these new rules, making them point of emphasis, and making sure that the players understood. Now, we still heard some people whining and complaining. Oh, you know, they're still fouling us. No, you're drawing the contact. Stop whining. And it's the usual suspects. It's
right.
Harden. It's Trae Young. You know, They're debating. Now, I will say this, though. I think, like, I don't know if you saw, did you watch, the game at all last night? The Cavs game?
Yes.
Like, that windup, I don't know how that play wasn't reviewed. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah. I don't understand that either.
That's a play that should have been reviewed. That should have been a flagrant one, in my opinion. Now, I'm not an NBA official, and I don't even think that, since that's not, and that's another thing I really think they need to change. I want them to be even more transparent. They only report the last 2 minute report. Like, why do we only report the last 2 minutes of the game? Like, let's talk about the other plays that are questionable and get that into the report too. That's my opinion. Like, it doesn't have to be the whole game. They don't have to, like, justify every call, but on plays that things should have been called or questionable, like, even the NFL will say, yeah, that should have been a foul, or that shouldn't have been a foul, and they're a little more transparent. They're not going to do anything about it, but at least they admit to it after the fact. I feel like they should do that, and I know that might get down to too hard. You know, there's 82 games in a season, and putting out a report for all those, but, like, that specific play, like that one I'm thinking of, that should have been a flagrant, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think the question that I have about where the rule changes are at this point goes to, is it going to continue through the remainder of the regular season, and does it continue in the playoffs? This seems like something that's sustainable. It doesn't feel like something that they're going to enforce for the first 10 games or the first month and then start to get lax with it. It seems like they're going to keep it up and basically legislate it out of the game and sort of retrain players that, hey, these things aren't being called. You just don't see, sure, you still see guys trying it, but you don't see it nearly as much as you have in the past several seasons. So it's a good change. It's a change that's made things, it's made the game faster because you're not shooting as many free throws. And I like the fact that you can play a little bit of defense and be a little bit physical and still not get called for fouls where offensive players are lurching into you as the defender and you're getting called for that on what clearly is not a basketball play or a basketball movement. So I'm all for that from the NBA. I think it's a really good situation.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. All right, Mike, I have one more question for you.
Sure.
You tell me, will Chris Paul go down as a better all-time player? He passed third all-time in rebounds. Chris Paul go down as a better all-time player.
In assists, you mean? In assists?
Yeah, he passed. What did I say?
You said rebounds.
Oh, rebounds. I'm sorry. Sorry, it's I was thinking about the person I was going to compare him to. Chris Paul will be the greatest player to never win an NBA championship, eclipsing Patrick Ewing and Charles Barkley by the end of his career. True or false?
Oh, that's false.
You think Barkley?
I think Barkley's got to be the best player. You look at, I mean, I think about him in the Phoenix-Chicago series in 93, where Barkley was, he was as close to Jordan in terms of a performance in a finals as anybody's ever been. I mean, he was, whatever, 94%, 90%, 98%, whatever you want to say. He was that close, and that was probably maybe Jordan's best finals, and Barkley was right there with him going toe-to-toe. I don't think Chris Paul has gotten to that level. Obviously, there are different types of players, and Chris Paul was never that kind of dominant scoring type of player the way Barkley was, but I feel like Barkley, going back through the history of the game and looking at the totality of their careers, if you had to ask me which one of those two guys would I rather start a franchise with, I'd rather start a franchise with Barkley than Chris Paul. I think Ewing and Chris Paul is an interesting case. Ewing obviously brings a huge defensive presence and continued to improve over the course of his career as an offensive player. I think because those Knicks teams were never able to get over the hump, I think Patrick maybe sometimes gets a raw deal. And truth be told, I never was a Georgetown fan, didn't like him at Georgetown, but he was a player that I've never seen a guy, at least especially as a college basketball player, he probably was more impactful as a defender in college than he was in the pros, but he was certainly a guy who kept working at his game and got better. That's more of a debate for me, Chris Paul or Patrick Ewing. I might lean Ewing there too, but I definitely would pick Barkley over Chris Paul.
Okay, that's fair. I just was wondering. That was something that came to my head, and I thought I'd ask it. So,
sure, absolutely.
All right. I don't have anything else, Mike. Do you have anything else?
I just want to share my Browns.
I was hoping we wouldn't talk about this.
All I'm going to tell you is, so we're not going to make this a long segment because it's, whatever, 12:40 at night, but I sent Jason a text for those of you who are interested in our Browns talk. I sent Jason a text when the Browns got the ball back. I forget exactly when they got it right?
Real quick, Mike. You know what Baker's stats were in the last two drives?
No.
6 for 9 for 73 yards. Those three incompletions. What do all three of those incompletions have in common?
Yeah, they were all dropped. I get it.
I'm not blaming Baker.
However, when we got the ball back with what, 4 minutes to go, maybe?
The first time?
I don't know. Anyway, at some point in the last 4 minutes of the game, I sent you the following text. Odds the Browns score on this possession, 10,000 to 1. So that's all. I'll leave it there. I just, for whatever reason, whether it's Baker, whether it's Landry, whether it's Beckham, whether it's the Browns, I don't know what
this one's on Landry's feet.
I'm not buying in. So that's my Browns take for the week. I think we leave it there. No need to discuss it
don't
anymore.
Don't need to belabor it anymore.
No, let's move on from that. Good 2 weeks of the NBA season. Cavs are 4-4, as you said. Much unexpected, especially with that road trip coming out of the gate. So we're excited about that. Please give us a follow on Twitter, on Instagram.
Mike, real quick.
Go ahead. Sure.
So let's predict the Cavs record before our next episode. So we play Portland tomorrow.
That's a win.
Oh, I like it. And then, oh no, NBA app. Come on now. Then on Friday, we play the Raptors in Toronto.
Toronto's been playing well. I'll say that's a loss.
Okay. So then we play the Knicks on Sunday.
That's in New York?
Yes.
I think that's a loss.
All right. And so those are the only three games we play before next week. So we play three games. So that means that your prediction is 5-6. I'm going to say the Cavs are going to win two of those three. I don't know which three they're going to win, but I think they're going to win two of the three.
That's fair. I could see them getting one of those two. I could see them getting one of those two in Toronto or New York. I could see them winning one of those. I don't know which one, but
and then,
I could see
and then
them
we got a good stretch. We got a good stretch after that. So next week we'll have to make that prediction. We play Boston twice in the next week. So after that,
Cool. All right, thank you for listening, everybody out there. We appreciate it. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at HoopHeadsPod. You'll see all the latest episodes come through and some of our back catalog as well. We appreciate you being a part of Hoopheads Nation. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast presented by Head Start Basketball.